Do you want to be inspired by other brilliant business owners? Find out how and why they set their brilliant businesses up. Discover some of the triumphs and struggles they faced along the way. If so, then you are in the right place. Welcome to the Brilliant Businesses Podcast. We interview business owners to find out their story and journey as to how they set their businesses up. We believe that story is an important way of making their businesses shine, and we share those stories on this podcast. Keep building those brilliant businesses.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Brilliant Businesses podcast. My name is Nick Bryant, and I'm very pleased today to be in the offices with Helen Beckenham. Good morning. Good afternoon, Helen.
Good afternoon.
How are you, right?
Yeah.
Good. So Helen is from Keyword Copywriting, and you provide copywriting services for small businesses all over the UK, America, and Europe. I want to start the interview, Helen, by you telling us about your background, because you were telling me earlier you worked at the BBC, and how you got to where you are to the business today. Take it away.
Thank you. I worked most of my life at the BBC before becoming a copywriter. I was there for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I sort of left there after doing a music degree at university. And I started off as a clerk for a ridiculously small amount of money and learned how to type in the course of that job.
Yeah.
And then I became a researcher for BBC Radio. I worked for BBC Radio. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that job, people kept on coming up to me and asking me to write scripts for them.
Oh, right, okay.
So they were doing a documentary about, I don't know, Chuck Berry or something.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, Terry Wogan's presenting this. Could you write a script for him that said this, and this, and make it sound a bit like Terry Wogan?
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, okay, all right, you know.
Bit of a challenge.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'd do that and then, you know, not think very much about it. And then somebody else would come up to me and say, do the scripts. And I didn't. It never occurred to me in the course of doing this that this was actually copywriting.
Yeah,
it's
writing
the way that people speak.
And that you had that skill as well.
I've always been able to do it without really thinking about it that much, to be honest with you. Mm. So, as I say, I worked for the BBC for 15 years. I ended up becoming a producer on Radio 3 for a programme called In Tune.
Okay.
I was freelancing at this stage, and that was possibly the best job that I ever had in the world.
Yeah.
Because I was putting a whole programme together and getting in live singers and pianists and very famous conductors and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And putting recorded music together and sorting out the live music. And that was such good fun. And I was producing the programme, so it's a live 2.5-hour programme.
Mm.
And you realise at that stage it really does test your mettle, because if something goes wrong, everybody looks at you as the producer and you learn not to panic.
Yeah, right.
It's very good for situations under pressure. When you're under pressure, you have to keep your cool
and basically
make a decision. Any decision, as long as you make a decision.
As long as you make one, because it's all on your shoulders, right?
I know, exactly. Yeah. As long as the person in charge is making a decision, it's okay.
Wrong or right. Okay, that's cool. So how did that lead? So that you did that for a certain period of time, then you set up on your own after you came out there and set the business up?
Sort of. I mean, the Radio 3 suddenly sort of axed their freelance budget overnight.
Oh, right.
And all the freelancers were kind of set free into the world.
I thought, okay, I'll
do something different. And also I was getting a bit fed up with the commuting, because I was living in Brighton at this stage.
Right.
And I hated commuting with a passion. Mm. And so I thought, well, I'll do something local. And I trained as a proofreader.
Okay.
Because I thought, I know a lot about grammar and spelling.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll train as a proofreader. And I did that for about a year. But I have to confess, it was the most stultifyingly boring job that I'd ever done in my life. Mm. It was just so dull. And most of the time, it wasn't proofreading for publishing companies. It was proofreading for people that had written bits and pieces for their marketing.
Right.
And I'd just rewrite it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd end up rewriting it and thinking, well, why don't you use the word you more often in this, as you're actually supposed to be speaking directly to this person.
Yeah.
And I would switch it around to them banging on about themselves to,
making it more marketable.
Making it more readable.
Yeah, yeah.
And more readable.
That must have been quite frustrating for you, reading all those, proofreading them and thinking, this needs to be done this way, this be done this way.
Yeah, totally. Mm. It was really, really, really dull. And I still do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
actually, for a, it's this is a bit like Have I Got News For You specialist publication, but it's called Double Read News.
Is it?
Because I'm a bassoon player.
Oh.
And I do a bit of proofreading for Double Read News because okay. they're sweethearts, and I do love them, and so that's the only proofreading I now do.
Okay. So then you then set up business up, or when did that come about? Keyword copywriting.
2011.
Right. Okay.
I started it end of 2011.
Okay.
Somebody, a graphic designer friend of mine, who's also a musician, asked me to write copy for a brochure.
Okay.
And said, do you do any copywriting? And I thought, I don't know. Do I do any copywriting? and I said, what's that then? And she explained, and I thought, yeah, I can do that. So I did. And they seemed to like it. And okay. I thought, well, I quite enjoyed that. I'll do a bit more of it.
Nice.
And so I kind of started a business. Without really knowing.
But I love that, though. I love the way a business starts like that, just in an organic way. You didn't even think it was going to happen. And you think, actually, I've got really good talent here. And people start using you.
It never occurred to me that people would pay me to write, to be honest, Nick. I had no idea that people would pay me to do this. Mm, it was a bit of a revelation, to be honest with you. Mm. Yeah.
That's good. Let's just go back a bit and just talk about what actually is a copywriter, because I'm sure it could, mean a lot of things. Tell us your side of it.
It's nothing to do with the law.
Okay.
It's nothing to do with copyright law.
No, okay.
People do sometimes ask me about that at networking events. They say, copyright law? And I go, no, I don't do copyright law. It's literally writing stuff.
Okay.
So that you don't have to.
Okay. Yeah.
Mostly marketing stuff
and
blogs and website content and things that you, if you want to sound clear and if you want to sound persuasive about your own business, no matter where it is, what it is, get a copywriter to do it for you. Because we stand, as copywriters, we stand outside your sector.
Yeah.
Directly midway between you doing the business, doing the thing, and the person that's wants to buy you.
Yeah.
And we translate what you do into clear terms that actually mean something to the person that's reading it.
Right.
It becomes persuasive because it's all about them and not about you.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, is that a common mistake a lot of businesses make on the websites? They write about themselves?
Hugely.
Yes.
I call it weeing all over your website.
Well, yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah.
I better explain. It's basically this we do this. Oh, you can do it with I, actually, sort of sole traders. I do this and I do that. And we are very proud of our customer service.
Yeah.
We have been in business since 1982. Nobody cares about you. And it's a really harsh lesson to learn. Actually, nobody cares about you. When they're on your website, they've got the attention span of a gnat. They just want to know what you can do for them.
Yes.
If you go on too much about yourself, they're just going to switch off.
Yeah.
They're going to run away faster than a gazelle at a lion party because it's not about them.
No.
And that's a really big mistake. Another one is really long sentences.
Okay. Paragraphs and paragraphs as well.
Oh, blocks of walls of text.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you're on you do this stuff. When you go onto a website and you see a wall of text, what's the first thing you do? You go, I can't be asked. You don't even read the first
next
sentence.
Page or next. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you see a sentence and you see it going on for days.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. And you think, oh, I can't.
How much is it?
I know. Do you actually offer what I need? Sorry, what's in this for me? You can't be bothered. So yeah, long sentences. Really, the maximum sentence length is 20 words.
Is it as small as that?
20 words. Not very much, and actually probably less than that.
That's interesting, because it's like they say on a social media post, you know, you don't want to be writing loads and loads of text because it would just go down a feed. It's just a small sentence to drive them to the website to read a bit more information.
You need to give them a reason for doing that as well.
So let's talk about, because it's very big on SEO, copywriting. You know, people always refer to it as a strength for that. Can you explain how it can help your SEO, as in search engine optimization?
Yeah.
How long have we got?
Jesse, I'm here all day. SEO, do you know, a lot of people talk a lot of rubbish about SEO.
Yeah.
I do on-page SEO,
okay.
Not off-page stuff. The thing about on-page SEO, it really isn't rocket science.
Mm.
It's just a bit fiddly.
Okay.
The way that it helps is that as we speak, for example, somebody is putting commercial videographer into the search engine.
Yeah.
Or various different things that you offer, like help with podcasts or something, all the services that you offer, they're putting them into a search engine right now, probably quite a few people.
Yeah.
Now, as a result, Google returns lots and lots of results on that. If your website is set up, if the words on your website is set up, so first of all, the robots work out that you're a commercial videographer,
okay,
and that you do podcasts and you do all the other things you do, that page on your website will appear on the search engine, probably somewhere on page one. That's for the robots. It speaks to the robots because the words, the key words, those words that people are putting into a search engine are in the right place on the page for the robots to see them and to rank that page.
Okay.
The human has just put it into a search engine. When they go onto the website, the first thing they want to know is, am I in the right place to buy what I need?
Yeah.
And if that heading, if that first thing on the page that they see isn't a confirmation of that, they're going to go, oh, I saw that, and then go somewhere else.
Right.
So it's kind of partly the robot. You've got to actually, because Google robots are clever, but they're also a bit stupid.
Okay.
And you need to give them really clear signals about what that page is about.
Yes.
But it's also for the human, the attention span of an apt human, to go, okay, this is the right page. This page tells me what I need, because people scan the page, they scan the headings.
Mm.
The robot sees the headings, but the human scans the headings, the first thing they do when they're on a page.
Yeah.
And each heading has got to be confirming that that page is giving them the information they need in order to make the buying decision.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure if that makes total sense.
No,
there's a bit more to it than that, but that's at its most basic.
Yeah, we need to simplify it, but it's the two approaches. The robot, I get it, because the robot needs to see that word for it to keep it up high, and obviously the human needs to see it to make sure it is what they want.
Yeah. And the thing about SEO these days is there needs to be enough information on the page.
Yeah.
Because Google nowadays, what Google's take on SEO is that it's looking for useful, relevant, people first content. It's all over Google's guidelines on SEO.
Is that okay?
The keywords have to be there to a certain extent, but it's not all about keywords anymore. It's about providing really useful information on the page so that everything the reader needs, everything your prospect needs, is on that page so that they can make that decision about whether or not to go with you.
Okay. That makes sense, and that simplifies it. Thank you.
Ooh.
Hopefully that makes sense to everyone.
Well,
I think it will. there is a little bit of a myth as well when people sort of say to you, okay, I've been in my business for 20 years. I know exactly about my business and everything. How are you going to write about my business when you don't know anything about my business? How do you get over that, or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's a completely understandable worry, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you think, I know absolutely everything there is to know about my business. How can you possibly write about it?
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems is that you know absolutely everything about your business. Your customer generally, your prospect, the person reading the website, isn't an expert in your business.
Yes.
It's very easy when you're an expert at something to assume a level of knowledge that your prospect doesn't have. They're not the expert in what you do. If they were the expert, why else would they need? Why would they need you?
True, yeah.
It's really what I do. I mean, first of all, I do tons of research.
Okay.
I mean, I do absolutely tons of research. Mm. What do people most need from this service or this, sometimes this product, mostly it's a service.
Mm.
What do people most need? You know, what is going to persuade them to buy? What information do they need in order to make that decision to buy? And then I focus on those things that the person needs. I don't have to be an expert in it.
No.
I have to be look at it from the point of view of the non-expert.
Yeah, and from the buyer.
From a buyer's point of view. The more expert I am in it, the more likely I am to miss out the most obvious detail.
Okay.
Because you just assume that people already know it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. So that answers that, because I think that's probably a barrier that you come up to a lot. I get it in probably in social media as well, where people say, well, you don't know about my business, how can you write about it? But it's the same sort of thing. You've got to look at it in a different way. The different services that you offer, there's loads of things to copywriting. So we've got down website, SEO, blog writing, which is really important, isn't it? Mm. But then you also do product descriptions, lead generation, got down brochures, emails, newsletters. All of those must have a different angle to them, about how you approach them. But I think the important one, website is important, but people like blogs.
Mm.
And that really helps SEO, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Blog writing is how important is that as a copywriter for you, for someone to have those on their website?
Oh, it's hugely important. Mm. I mean, each time you post a blog on your website, it's creating a new landing page.
Okay.
And the trick with blogs, in order to make it a really effective landing page, is to pick a topic that people actually want to know the answer to.
Okay.
You're solving a problem, you're answering questions, and you're providing information that people need. Because again, it's Googleable. I'm not sure if that's a word. It's searchable.
Yeah.
Because people are, I mean, as I say, people right now are putting questions into Google. How to is the single most common way to begin a Google search.
Yeah.
And if you can really, really pinpoint what your potential customers really need to know about the subject that you're an expert in, and you explain it to them, you're basically in a blog, you're giving away information. You're not selling anything in a blog. If you start selling in a blog, people run away. I mean, they just don't want to know. They're not ready to buy. Mm. They want information. They don't have their wallets open at that point.
No.
And so it's all to do. It's not all to do. It's mostly to do with the topic that you choose. Choose a topic that's going to be genuinely useful to readers. They're not necessarily even your prospect, actually, at that stage.
Yeah.
They're just a reader that's talking about on the internet, trying to find the answer to something.
Yeah.
And then you write about it in a really clear way. It's, as I say, it's not in the least bit salesy or pushy.
Mm, that's important.
You're not going, here, buy me. I'm an expert. You're just showing that you're the expert.
Yeah.
You're demonstrating your knowledge, and you're basically getting loads of kudos.
Yeah.
And credibility.
Yeah. Making you sort of look like at the forefront of that business and that industry, a leader.
Yeah. You're an industry expert.
Mm.
And those blogs sit on the internet forever.
Of course,
they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Those blogs are going to stay there for the duration until the internet explodes. I don't think there's any chance of that happening yet. But I hope not anyway.
No.
But they sit there on the internet drawing people to your website. You can stick them out on social media. You can put them anywhere you like.
Mm.
So that's one thing.
Okay.
You can do the same with LinkedIn articles, actually.
Okay.
They're really good. You don't publish them on your website. You just publish them on LinkedIn.
Right.
Massive kudos
for
the LinkedIn article.
Yes. And then you become a thought leader as well.
Yeah. I do write those to people quite often.
Do you? Okay. Is there a way businesses can search on the internet what it is people are searching about their product or service? You know, so a typical how-to, I don't know if you're a builder, is if you look up what is the most thing that people are searching for at the moment, can you do that?
You can, I mean, one of the best things to do is ask your customers.
Yes, of course.
It's completely free to do that.
Yeah, research.
I mean, it's free keyword research. If you ask your customers, what would you put into the internet if you were looking
for us
to build a wall
or
sort of create a new kitchen for you or something?
Yeah.
Just ask the words that people, it's really free. You can also get really cheap keyword research tools. They don't have to be expensive. There are really expensive ones like SEMrush. I mean, there's the kind of top ones, but you don't need all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
If you just want to know the numbers and how difficult it is to rank for that term, you can get something like the Key Search is a really good one.
Okay.
Google itself will also help you.
If you put the
search term in, it will give you suggestions as to what else people might be looking for.
Yeah, and
it's a really simple way.
I guess you can see other articles that have been written that come up high when you've done that, and you can sort of use those a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's good. So another thing I want to ask you is how or why you enjoy what you do.
Oh,
what is the meaning behind why you love what you do?
I just lose myself in it.
Not everyone can write. It's a real...
No.
It's a really strong talent.
I mean, it's a really weird thing because it took me years to realise, well, first of all, that this was a skill that not everyone had.
Yeah.
Secondly, that it's not a skill. It's not only that, it's that most people can't do it. And thirdly, that they will pay me to do it. And it was like a light bulb moment. I thought, oh, okay. I still sometimes in the back of my head, I still think, can't you do this? Why can't you do it?
Why can't you do it yourself?
Why can't you do it? Yeah. But yeah, and I was writing something yesterday, and I mean, hours had passed, and I hadn't realised that hours had passed because it's completely absorbing.
Yes.
And I do sometimes have to sit back and think, I do a job that is totally absorbing. And that is just so, you get, you know, they talk about flow.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
Flow. It's that, really. You can just become so absorbed in it. And you, before you realise, it's like magic. I mean, I start off with a blank page, like yesterday.
Yeah.
About, I was writing about a wardrobe makeover for somebody, and I thought, oh my God, she'd done a fantastic brief for me. Yeah. Shout out to Sophia. She did a most fantastic brief. Fine-tuned wardrobe. She's okay. Gorgeous, lovely. She did the most fantastic brief. And I thought, well, I'd start off with a blank page, and I thought, what do I say about this? She'd given me such a good brief that actually I was using her own words in this brief.
Okay.
She was saying she had the most fantastic turn of phrase. Again, could not write it. The keyboard was draining the life out of it somehow, sucking all the personality out of what she was trying to say. And I thought, okay. And I was reading through this brief that she'd given me because I transcribe it and, you know, sort of write in her voice for a while. And before I knew it, I kind of come up with a, and it was like magic. It was like, I don't know where I went. I kind of go off into this weird space. I write a page of stuff, and before now, I've got a whole page of content.
Wow. There.
And it's a very,
it just flows through your fingers. Magic. Yeah, like magic.
It does
yeah.
feel a bit like magic sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I explained that very well, but.
No, you did, because it's a skill that not everyone has. And in fact, very few people have. So you're very lucky. You know, you obviously do it really well. What's your take on, because every sort of now and again you get AI, and that's coming up more and more, isn't it? What, people that write a blog through AI, is it obvious? What's your take on it?
Yeah, it is pretty obvious. I mean, don't get me wrong, AI is a really useful tool. I use it as a research tool.
Okay.
And it can be very useful for things like FAQs.
Right.
So, but you have to be very specific about the question you're asking it. What are the most commonly asked questions by prospects looking for a particular service? And you can be very specific about the kind of prospects. So owners of small businesses looking for whatever. So it's useful for that, but don't get it to write for you.
No.
It's a robot. Yeah. It doesn't understand empathy. It doesn't understand emotion. It will never say anything unexpected.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah.
It won't understand the importance of just coming up with something a little bit slightly off the page somehow just slightly off at an angle.
Which it kicks people's interest, doesn't it?
It doesn't understand wit at all.
Okay, right,
so if you want something to sound witty or even just dry or just...
Engaging, really.
Engaging. Yeah. It doesn't have the ability. I once, as an experiment, I'd written a blog about how to design a business card for somebody. And I'd sent it off to the client and they were very happy with it. And I just got the AI tool. And I thought, I'll just say, just, and I said, please, can you write a blog about how to design a business card and talk about this, this, and this?
Yeah.
So it came up with this drivel.
Yeah.
Absolute, really wordy, awful drivel.
Yeah.
And I said, oh God, I looked at it. I thought, Christ, this is just unreadable.
Right. Yeah.
Blurby stuff. And I said, okay, please, can you rewrite this, making it more witty?
Oh, did you? Yeah.
And it came up with virtually the same thing, but it just put lots of exclamation marks on it. And then I said, please, can you make this sound more human? And it came back to me and said, I cannot do that. I am a robot.
There you go. There's the answer right there, isn't it? That's fascinating. Yeah. So as far as sectors go, you work right for any sectors, any industry, any business.
Yeah. The only sector that I can't work in is something like medical copywriting.
Of course, yeah.
Because under those circumstances, the reader is an expert in the subject. I write mostly for any professional service. I can
Okay.
Absolutely right about that.
Cool.
B2B stuff, yep. A certain amount of B2C stuff as well.
Okay.
I don't really want to specialise in any one particular area. Mm. It can get, because partly it's a bit boring.
Yeah.
If I'm right about the same thing. But also I'm going to become too much of an expert.
Yes.
So I'm actually now no longer, if I'm writing constantly about the same thing, I know too much about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm no longer in the position of the client.
Yeah. Well, it goes against what you were saying earlier, wasn't it? About that you've got to be that person that doesn't know anything about the industry. So therefore you can write the right way for them to see that.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. Well, if anyone wants any copywriting, then they should get in touch, right? On your website, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, they can get in touch with me on my website.
Okay, okay.
Keywordcopywriting.co.uk.
Okay, so if anyone out there wants any copywriting, then please do get in touch. And thanks, Helen. It was really interesting talking to you and hearing all your stories and all your different takes on copywriting. it was really interesting, so thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Good. And we'll see you all for another podcast soon. Thank you.